do you desire and anticipate the salvation of sinners? Is it your great concern for the men and the women and the children that you know that they should come from death to life? It was for the Apostle Paul. In Romans chapter 10, he talks about his particular concern and regard for the people among whom he had been brought up and to whom in his flesh he belonged. Brothers, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. This salvation, this deliverance, this coming to know God in truth, this putting away of sin, this escape from death, this deliverance from hell, these were the things that captured the apostle's heart when he thought of the people whom he loved. And he was profoundly concerned that they were resting upon their own righteousness, and so rejecting the righteousness that God had provided in Christ. They were attempting, by their own works, to do what God himself alone could do and had done for them. The righteousness of faith doesn't say we can get God down to us, or we can get ourselves up to God. The righteousness of faith looks to the Christ whom God has sent in order that we might be saved. And so the apostle insists that whoever confesses with his mouth the Lord Jesus and believes in his heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. There is this instruction then. The word of God has been made known. The good news has been declared, so that we may know who Christ is and what Christ does. And if we then cast ourselves upon him, we will be saved. And whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. You will never be in a situation, not in life, not at death, not on the day of judgment, when your confidence in Christ will be proved empty, false, or worthless. You will never have the carpet pulled out from underneath your feet. You will never be surprised to find that the promises of God have failed you at some ordinary or even vital moment, that Christ is proving to be something other than or less than what God has provided and promised him to be. And the marvel is, says the apostle, that there's no distinction between Jew or Greek in this respect. This is not salvation for the Jews alone, and it's not salvation for the nations of the world. It is salvation for all who call upon the name of the Lord. Because the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. There is a wealth of grace and mercy, of goodness and love and sovereign favour in the heart and hand of God, ready to be dispensed when a sinner cries out to him. And when the Holy Spirit begins to work in your heart, when the Word of God begins to grip your soul, when you begin to understand your need of a Saviour, your own sin before this holy and awesome God of all the earth, then if the Spirit is working in your heart, you are crying out to God, save me, deliver me, and you are casting yourself upon Christ, turning away from all your imagined goodnesses and righteousnesses. And, says the Apostle, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whoever cries out in trust to this Jesus, whoever rests his soul for time and for eternity, shall be once and for all delivered from sin and death and hell, and then kept through every step and every stage of their pilgrimage until they arrive at last in the presence of God himself, saved by the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, do you preach for this if you're a preacher? Do you pray for this if you're a Christian? Do you eagerly desire and anticipate this as you come to the preaching of the Word of God, the Gospel of Jesus Christ? Are you seeking by all proper means, by God's appointed means, to secure the salvation of those whom you know and whom you love? Is your heart's desire and prayer to God that sinners may be saved? Then if so, preach and pray the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, because whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved.